and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from Endscreen Media joins me in this busy CES week, though neither of us have attended.
That's right, Will. It's good to hear you. As you did, I decided not to go to CES this year, but plenty of announcements from there. Although I have to say our main topic this week is sort of only peripherally associated with CES, right?
Well, it was announced at CES. CES has become, as we both know, a huge show for the TV manufacturers. And this year was no exception. But I think for me anyway, and even though I didn't attend CES, I always follow the news coming out of it pretty closely. I'd say the most interesting thing that I've seen, and I wrote about it earlier this week, is this news that Apple is finally partnering in somewhat meaningful ways with big TV manufacturers. And the most notable deal is that Apple is creating an exclusive iTunes app for Samsung, for certain Samsung smart TVs. It's also enabling AirPlay 2 and HomeKit support for some Samsung, Vizio, LG, and Sony smart TVs. All of that means that the sort of long heralded sort of fortress-like mentality that Apple has maintained around its devices and its content seems to be opening up just a little bit. If you're an owner of some of these Samsung smart TVs, you'll be able to access your iTunes library, which I think is going to be the first time, unless you owned an Apple TV device, the first time that you would be able to actually do that on the big screen. So that is potentially meaningful. We're going to talk about how meaningful it's going to be in a few minutes. But from an Apple perspective, it's, as I wrote, I think it's important, but it still seems like a half measure. The big thing here for Apple, of course, coming out of the bad news about the new iPhone sales volume in the holiday quarter, is that the services and content business is becoming much more important to Apple's overall financial health. And sort of tied into that is that this year, 2019, we're going to see Apple really coming in on the content side pretty heavy. The first originals under the $1 billion reported budget are going to start showing up. The business model around them has still been a little bit mysterious. But the key is that if you're going to spend $1 billion on originals, you really need to make sure that those originals are going to be at least somewhat easily accessible on big screen TVs. You don't want to spend $1 billion and then turn around and tell people that are interested in the shows that the only way to watch them is on a computer screen or a mobile device. You've got to, or if you happen to be one of the people that has an Apple TV, then you get to watch on the big screen. You have to figure out how to open up and get that content in front of people on the big screen. And that's really, I think, what this move with Samsung and the other OEMs is all about, is starting to create a foundation for these originals to be successful. And I think that's definitely a step in the right direction for Apple. But I would argue that even these deals seem like a half measure when you think about the fact that Samsung and LG together are estimated to have just a little over a third of global market share for smart TVs. And that's actually less than the 40% share that all smart TVs running Android have. You realize that these deals are only really going to address a relatively tiny fraction of TV viewers. It's not clear whether existing Samsung smart TVs are all going to get the download to be able to get the iTunes app, or whether only some of them are. Beyond that, we know that smart TVs are actually only a portion of how people view OTT content on TVs, because we know that the devices themselves, the Rokus, the Chromecast, the Apple TVs, et cetera, Fire TVs, are a big and growing share of how people get OTT content on their existing HDTV. That's before talking about game consoles and other devices that lots of people still use to get OTT content on their TV. So enabling iTunes and iTunes app on Samsung and that's exclusive for now, it'll probably open up down the road, is still only going to be enabling a small percentage of people to actually watch these Apple originals on their big screen TVs. So bottom line to me is, right move, still half measure, and reveals yet again how Apple, despite all of its incredible products, footprint, financial firepower, et cetera, seems to be slipping ever further behind the market leaders in the video space. When you look at them relative to the Netflixes, the Amazons, the Google, YouTubes, the Disneys, the Rokus, Apple just continues to seem like they've missed one opportunity after the next over the years. And not clear whether these new deals are really going to move the needle that much for them in the end.
You got that right, Will. To look at the size of the mistake that Apple has made in this market, I went back and looked a few years ago at the market for video rentals. And look, let's be clear. iTunes was the earliest, I think, in the market for digital media, right? It came in with Apple's iPod devices and really dominated the market, and possibly still does dominate the market for music. But if you go back to 2013, it still did dominate in video rentals. So in 2013, I was pulling some data from TiVo, and 6.4% of folks in the TiVo survey in 2013 said that they used iTunes to rent a movie. And only, at that time, 5.8% of people were using Amazon. So you fast forward to 2017, 4 years later. Oh my goodness. Apple is still down around 7.9%. So has only grown about 1.5% share during that period. Amazon is now 18%. They completely lost that market to Amazon at a time when there was lots of market share to be grabbed, because during that period, of course, there's been this massive decline in the rental of physical discs. And that I put that down primarily, Will, to the fact that they just weren't on the device that people wanted to watch on, which is, of course, the television. Whereas Amazon, has done a better job in being available on the devices, with one exception, that's Chromecast. Amazon is not available on Chromecast. It's done a much better job on being available on those TV-connected devices so that people could rent the movies. So I think that's a really great example of the mistake that they made. And this is like doubly so, as you say, because now they're producing professional content. If they want that content to be successful, if they want to be included in the Emmy nominations, just as Netflix and Amazon have been, and very successfully been in just this weekend, then that content needs to be seen by as many people as possible. And Apple TV just simply doesn't get it done. I pulled some more recent data on share of TV connected devices, and Apple TV is not doing well here in the US. It is third of the big four, as it were. Fire TV is number one with about 29%, according to William Blair, at least. Roku just a tad behind at 27%. Chromecast 17%, and Apple back at 16%. And that, of course, doesn't even include, as you said, game consoles, which a third of people are using. I think what we see here, Will, is that they've just completely underestimated the importance of the TV screen to them in their ecosystem, not just to people. I think it's really critical for them if they want to be in media these days. They've got to be on more TVs. And so this really has come very late. It's great that they're doing it. Samsung, of course, is the number one television manufacturer worldwide. So this is a worldwide agreement. So this does immediately get them on the most important platform. But the problem, as you so well highlight, is the fact that this is at the moment only guaranteed to be on 2019 TVs. So although Samsung has this fabulous footprint worldwide, Apple is going to be on a tiny fraction of them for the foreseeable future. So this really flummoxes me that they really haven't done a lot more. The way they really need to be thinking, in my opinion, Will, is as they produce this content has got to be on everything. And if they want differentiation, then what they should be doing is they should be thinking of making it better on Apple devices. So perhaps they reserve some bonus features or something that is only available if you're watching through Apple devices, so that people have a reason to prefer to be on those platforms but can still access the content everywhere. But they're gonna have to work harder than this, I think, if they're going to be successful with content.
Yeah, I hear you. The other piece that's a little confusing to me is that Apple also has this app called the TV app, and it has content, its own content in it, but it also has it's a little bit of an Amazon Channels type play where you can subscribe to different SVOD services.
Right.
It wasn't clear from these announcements this week related to CES where that TV app fits in with these TV OEMs either. And which app is going to be the app that Apple is trying to stand behind as it begins to promote its originals. Like, we could easily see when they start promoting the originals, the little tagline at the bottom where it says, available at, and then is it going to be available at iTunes, available at TV app, available at certain Samsung TV? It's very unclear. And then, of course, further than that, it's unclear whether it's going to be free content, whether they're going to charge for it, whether it's going to be bundled, limited access, who knows what. All of that is sort of shrouded in mystery. I sort of cheekily made the joke that, you could almost hear the late night hosts cracking wise. Did you hear about Apple's making TV shows? The only bad news is they're impossible to actually watch on TV.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like perverse when you think about it. Spend $1 billion with all this A-list talent, and then it ends up that they're actually very hard to watch on TV for most people. And when you cite those statistics before about the market share for Fire TV, Roku, and Chromecast, and you start thinking about the high percentage of those people who have brought home a Fire TV or Roku or Chromecast that probably also have iPhones, iPads, and Macs in their house, you really realize how much Apple has let this whole TV opportunity get frittered away. And I continually think that Apple has sort of found itself trapped in this gilded cage of its own making when it comes to the TV, because all these other companies, whether it's Roku, Amazon, Google with Chromecast, they have all recognized that the key to success here in connected TV are low cost but still high quality devices. And that is just not a space that Apple plays in. They have to have a certain margin profile in their products. And as a result, they have not been able to have an entry in the TV space or even in the DV device space that has been low cost and super competitive. So it's a very tough spot that they find themselves in now as they forge forward with content being so much more important to them than ever.
Right, it certainly is. There is one thing that we should refocus on. One thing that they did go much more broadly on was support for AirPlay, which is being supported in Samsung TVs. It's also being supported in LG TVs and Sony and I think Vizio as well. So they're getting broader support for the ability to at least cast video from a phone or iPad or a Mac to a television. So that's good. That certainly helps a lot, and that will help get that content watched there. But I still don't think that is a quote mainstream behavior. Most people, when they sit down on a television, to watch TV aren't thinking about casting something from their phone. They're thinking about they want something to watch. And here, that's where they want, you know, very, very easy access. So I assume that that is what the iTunes app on the Samsung TV will give, because it's going to be apparently integrated with Bixby, which is the voice search assistant on Samsung televisions. What that means is that somebody from a Samsung TV remote will be able to speak to it and find the Apple content, so it's easy to find and easy to access. So that's all to the good. But the problem, as I said before, is it'll be on so few TVs to start with. It'll take years for it to be available if they don't put a hard press and go back and do versions that run on earlier versions of the Tizen operating system for Samsung. They have to, obviously, in my mind, if this is an exclusive relationship with Samsung, I hope it's not for very long, because the first thing that they should be doing, if they really want to get this content exposed properly and they want to start to make up ground here, is they need to get that app on everything as quickly as they possibly can, including older versions of apps. And that's a big job, and they need to get started now if they're really going to make an impression with this content when it comes out later this year. Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't see any sign that that was going to happen. But I guess at least for Apple phone users, of which there are a lot, probably half of the folks in the US, or a very large number of people in the US, are using Apple phones today, do at least have some mechanism of getting it on this television. The problem for them is that the problem for them and for Apple is that they're not on the TV, as you say, and this is a huge gap that Apple really needs to fill.
Yeah, I'd say it's a pretty sorry statement if your go-to-market strategy for your $1 billion of originals relies on people casting from their iPhones to a limited number of smart TVs that have gotten the AirPlay support. That's an anemic way to start off supporting your $1 billion.
I think you're absolutely right. And what they should be doing, Will, is they should be doing what I see companies like Roku and Amazon doing, which is they're giving people a place to go on their devices where they can watch for free. So we've talked about in the past how successful Roku has been with the Roku channel, number five most viewed channel on Roku devices for the 27 million Roku active users. Now we see this morning there's been an announcement that Amazon will be releasing a free streaming video channel called FreeDive via an IMDb app. It's a bit odd that it's released through IMDb, but this will be available on the Fire TV devices for sure. So there's reason for people to dive into Fire TV and the Fire TV devices, and they can watch lots of free content. And you know, Apple needs to be doing something similar to this with their Apple TV and with their devices, to give people a focal point where they can go watch free stuff and see the more exclusive stuff that they're producing. But again, they're not doing this. They haven't done this. So if they're doing it, once again, they're playing catch up. It's it's just not a very good strategy. I think their attention must be elsewhere, don't you, Will?
Yeah. Well, you just talk about raising the IMDb FreeDive app, which has been announced today. We're recording here on Thursday. Again, imitation, the highest form of flattery. This is, I think, directly as a result of what Roku, as you say, Roku's success with the Roku channel. We saw YouTube also launching a free ad-supported part of the site with premium content. Now we have Amazon doing it. But Apple has a huge issue, even if it wanted to do something like this, which is that it has really no advertising infrastructure. That is, Apple is not an ad-supported, does not have ad-supported media. That's not ever been its play. It's always been transactional. And so whereas Amazon has now become a pretty sizable player in display advertising and in other types of native advertising that it can use to leverage into video advertising, and certainly Roku has great infrastructure on the video ad side. YouTube has great infrastructure on the video ad side. That's not what Apple has. And so we already yet again see sort of the terms of competition changing here quickly in early 2019, and Apple yet again finding itself behind the eight ball in another space. So they have a lot of work to do, Colin. I have to say, I'm going to be really intrigued to watch how this year unfolds for them and if they can make themselves more relevant. Just throwing money at producing original content, that alone is not enough to get Apple back into the game here.
No, totally agree with you, Will. It's a much, much bigger investment that's required here if they're to be successful. Again, I think they just underestimated the importance of the television set to them in their ecosystem. Now, I have to ask you before we go, Will, we're just about out of time, but has this finally put paid to your hopes that Apple will produce a TV?
Well, certainly loyal podcast listeners and video news readers know that I was an advocate of them producing their own TV, and I still believe that they had that opportunity and that they completely missed it. I think that window is now completely closed. There's just absolutely no way, given where prices are for HDTV, UHD TVs today, that Apple could ever come in and offer a TV and get the kind of margins that it wants to get and secure any sort of market share. So that window is closed, and I think it all ultimately has led to this very sort of odd situation where Apple is, you know, kind of going around trying to scrounge up these deals with OEMs to get more distribution for whether it's going to be iTunes or the TV app or some combination, but basically try to put together some semblance of distribution so that its originals can be watched on TVs. It's a very unusual situation for Apple to find itself in, sort of not fully controlling its own destiny. But yeah, I think if you look back, I think not creating that TV, their own TV, I think that was a big missed opportunity for them.
Yeah, as you know, I was never a believer that Apple would do it. And if you want a big line to be drawn under this, about talk about innovation, I don't know if you saw the LG TVs that roll up now into a box. Yeah. Boy, that's innovation, and I think that was an area that Apple was never going to be able to keep up with big providers like LG and Samsung on. So as you say, I think the time has passed. And to be honest, I think Apple continues to be focused in other places. It sounds like they've really got their heart set on things like health. I saw a quote from Tim Cook this morning saying that he hoped that is what Apple's contribution to mankind would be remembered for. So that's a big statement if ever there was one. So perhaps they're still not that serious about this market.
Yeah, I think they went small instead of going big. They focused on the watch, which I think is a bona fide hit for them. But it's, I don't think, ever going to be quite the hit that being in the TV space in a meaningful way would have been for them. But anyway, we are, I think, about 23 minutes here, Colin. So we're going to, I think, cap it at that, and certainly keep a close eye on what Apple does as the year progresses.
You bet. And hopefully there's still a few interesting announcements to come out of CES this week. And we can talk more next week. Good conversation, as always.
Likewise, Colin. Thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we will see you all again next week.